The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
So, if we can, I do want to turn, Lord willing, if you'll pray, that the Holy Spirit will be with us here this evening just for a very brief amount of time. Something that I've been kind of reflecting on and thinking on a lot out of the book of Job. If you get an opportunity, and everybody's different, and this is where, you know, we're kind of told in God's Word that we all have different gifts, different callings, different abilities, different things that God has wired us compared to you know, your thing may not be my thing may not be your thing, as far as maybe some people are eloquent speakers, maybe some people are more enthusiastic, some people are more gifted in natural things, like some people have a brain for math, some people have a brain for arts, okay? You know, women are from Venus, men are from Mars, you know, different gifts, different callings, okay? Now, what I know is that with myself, I am very, I guess you could say ADHD, okay? That's self-diagnosed just because, you know, I want to feel sorry for myself. But ADHD, so I need something to keep me structured, okay? My father's in the back. He can probably attest to this. If you give me, I've learned lately, that if you give me some checklists, then I do really well with checklists, okay? If you give me self-discipline of this is your plan, accomplish it by the end of the year, not so good. Probably get up to about day 360 going, oh no, I've got 365 days worth of work to do in 5 days. So, I found that in reading through the Bible, okay, people will talk about reading through the Bible in a year. I have tried that multiple times, never been able to do it. Probably like, hopefully, like a lot of you, you get to about Leviticus, Chronicles, and everything, and you go, you know, there's not really feeling the inspiration of God in this. You know, not really seeing the application in my life. Don't really know what Jahaz or Jehoshaphat or Phil Bottapon did or what, you know, I don't get this. So why am I reading it? Some Bible plans that you get will have you jumping from like First Chronicles to Psalms to Revelations all in one reading. And again, you go, I don't know how this correlates. I've got a three-headed dragon and, you know, wisdom and truth, buy the truth and sell it not. It doesn't work for me. I found an app, all you who are app people, a lovely little Bible reading app that'll read the Bible to a year. You can checklist every day, pop that bad boy off. It's working for me. I've gotten into Job. All right, I've gotten all the way to Job. I don't want any applause, but if you wanted to give some, I wouldn't mind. Got all the way to Job. Been reading through Job and just loving Job, okay? The reason I think I love Job so much is because if you ever wanted a testimony to how relevant the Bible is, spanning thousands of years, all you have to do is go to the book of Job. Because in the book of Job, one of the oldest written books, now obviously chronologically, you've got, you know, Genesis that is going to the beginning. Job does not go before the beginning, so obviously Job's coming after the beginning. But if you were talking about the written books, okay, Job is thought to be the oldest written book of the Bible. Now, if you're going to go chronological order, somewhere around Genesis chapter 20, you'd insert Job there, okay? So that's how far back we're going. Now, the reason it's so cool is because Job is so relevant, and if you go back to Genesis chapter 20, we're talking like 5,000 years ago, okay? So Job, 5,000, 6,000, however many thousand years later, is a story that you read and go, man, that's me, or that's a situation I've been in, or buddy, I can sympathize, okay? So for the Word of God to have that translational ability is just a profound thing in and of itself. So to be able to read a book that's thousands of years old that was written before you had all this stuff we're sitting in and experiencing today, and yet you read it and go, oh man, Brother Job, know exactly what you're going through. There's some power in that, okay? I will try you to read Homer, okay, and go, and that's Homer the Greek, not the Simpsons, okay? Read Homer and go, oh, this just relates to me today so much, okay? You know, go read Plato, and there's some of those that are good works, but I mean, you know, they're dated, all right? They're writing from a, you know, whatever, second century BC kind of attitude. So it's a little bit different. Things have changed. Job's situation hasn't changed, okay? So we know the situation with Job. We know what happened to him. We know that there was like a little meeting between God and Satan, and we know what happened with how Satan came in to destroy Job's stuff, and then Satan came in to destroy Job's life. He touched his flesh, but he couldn't kill him. God put that restriction on him. Again, you talk about just a testimony that spans time. You fast forward thousands of years, and you look at the things that Satan touches in our lives to try to get us to lose faith. It's our stuff in our bodies, okay? You let a little doctor's visit tell you that you've got some kind of new cancer that is untreatable. You get a rockable kind of faith point right there, okay? You get a situation where maybe, I don't know, you're living somewhere in a delta plane around the Mississippi, maybe around somewhere around Baton Rouge, and all of a sudden floodwaters of a 500-year flood come up and flood your church and your house and everything, and you don't have flood insurance, and you start going, God, why me? What next? How am I going to do this? Challenges your faith, challenges your stance, challenges your belief that when God says, I take care of the sparrows, I'm going to take care of you. Say, okay, well, this is one of those rubber meets the roads kind of situation, okay? It's just amazing that you fast forward 5,000 years and that's still the same things that are getting touched today in our lives that still affect us and make us go, God, are you really there? God, do you really hear me? God, are my prayers really reaching you? God, do I really, you know, the same struggles. You can talk to numerous Christians, okay? And you let a little bit of trouble, and, you know, I'm talking about getting your entire family killed in the collapsing of a house, that's not, I don't consider that a little struggle, okay? That's a pretty big deal. So I'm not going to trivialize anyone's trials, no matter how great or small they are. But still, you let trials and tribulations come into our lives. That's why the New Testament speaks so much on it, is that it's going to happen. Amen. Jesus said, by the way, you're going to have tribulations, but be of good cheer. You just see this theme play over and over, and you go, but how? How can it be that way? How can you be of good cheer in these troubled times? The book of Job walks us through that. Now, that's not what I'm talking about, okay? You get through Job, though, and you start seeing Job make some statements. Job starts kind of pleading his case. He starts out, he's really good. He's going, you know, he's on task. He's really, the very first time he gets down, all of his family, all of his livestock, all of his living, everything is completely destroyed. Brother Job hops down on his knees and begins to worship God, lowest point of his life, worship God, and says, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. You know, Job, you just like faith bombed everybody. Nobody is on your level, okay? Chapter 2, Lord says you can touch his body, all right? Job, here you go. Here's some boils. Have fun. Seeing that Job's in now, he's sitting in sackcloth and ashes, scraping his skin with a pot shard, and his lovely, adoring, supportive, you know, wife comes up and says, you just need to give up. Curse God, die. Quit this. Why are you still holding to your faith? And he says something that should never be repeated by any smart man in this room. You speak as a foolish woman. Don't ever say that. Going to be married, not married yet, already married, you know, just, that's just good sound wisdom. Don't ever say that. Foolish woman, you know, God giveth good things, why shouldn't we also expect evil? You know, I'm not going to curse the Lord, all right? He starts off great. But just like in all of our natural progression, you start sitting around and your problem's going, you know, what, but God, look, I've been pretty good. I've done good stuff. Okay, he talks to his comforters, and they're telling him, God, you got to have some unconfessed sin in your life. Something's wrong. This doesn't happen to righteous people. Job says, but I am righteous. What have I done wrong? I've done this. I've done that. Why am I being punished? It's in one of those statements that I want to focus real quick. Job 29. And it's something that, you know, again, I kind of give Job a little bit of a attaboy. Okay, Job was righteous. Job was an upright man. Job had been good, okay? Job was not like, you know, as people would say, he wasn't like he was living in sin, a closeted sinner that was just righteous on Sunday, but then a sinner. Job was doing right. God even told Satan, look at Job. He's righteous. He's upright. He doeth good. Have you ever considered him? Okay? So, I mean, he had kind of some credibility there. He could say, you know, I've been doing pretty good. I've been trying to live as right as I can. And in this section in Job chapter 29 is the verses I want to get to. Job 29, starting in verse 12, he makes this claim. He tells this to the comforters. He's telling them what my life has been. Right. And he says, And I know I'm jumping in the middle of the verse, and I'm very sorry. Verse 11, he says, "When the ear heard me, then it blessed me. And when the eye saw me, it gave witness to me. Because I delivered the poor that cried, and the fatherless, and him that had none to help him." Now, you take that little verse, fast forward 5,000-6,000 years, and you go over to James chapter 1, and you'll see James chapter 1, he'll say, what is pure religion? What is pure religion? Take care of the fatherless and the widows, and keep himself unspotted from the world. Job, 6,000 years ago, practicing pure religion, okay? "The blessings of him that was ready to perish came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and a diadem. I was eyes to the blind, and feet was I to the lame. I was a father to the poor, and the cause which I knew not, I searched it out. And I brake the jaws of the wicked, and plucked the spoil out of his teeth. Then I said, I shall die in my nest, and I shall multiply my days as the sand. My root was spread out by the waters, and the dew lay all night upon my branch." Now, the verses that I wanted to grab were there in verse 12 through 16. Job is not bragging. Job is just saying what he did. This is who I was. Said, I delivered the poor and the fatherless. I was a help to him who had none. I was eyes to the blind and feet to the lame and a father to the poor. Those three things right there is one I want us to grab. Three simple things that 6,000 years later, Jesus was still teaching us to do. 6,000 years later, Jesus was saying, you're to care for the fatherless and the widows. You're to care for the poor. You're to love your neighbor. You're to care for them like you would yourself. You're to love your enemy. Okay, so whereas you think you got justification to write some people off and say, you know what, you don't deserve my help. You've been wrong to me, okay, or one of those you've got yourself into this situation, you can get yourself out kind of deals. Jesus the whole time saying, love them, care for them. If they ask for your cloak, give them your coat also. Go with them twain, go with them 3 miles, go with them 1 mile. That is what we are to be. He even tells his disciples, he says, the way they will know that you are my disciples, when I live off this world and you go out from me, he says, the way that you will know, they will know, the world will see that you are my disciples is what? That you carry around a Bible? That you've got a WWJD bracelet on? That you got one of those little Jesus fish things on the back of your car? He says, they'll know you're my disciples because you love one another. Amen. Love. Now here, Job says, I was eyes to the blind, I was feet to the lame, and I was a father to the poor. Now, this is what you hear sometimes. Okay, what you hear among Christians, what you hear among fellow believers, people who are talking, you know, at the coffee table or whatever, and they'll say, you know what, I just don't know what God has in store for my life. I just don't know what God wants me to do with my life. I just don't feel like God's given me a clear calling, a clear direction, a clear path, a clear whatever. I just feel like that if God would come down and like ride on a tome or something, or maybe say, you know, from a booming, thundering voice, Adam, this is what I would have you to do, then that would give me a clear path. And man, then I would go at it 150% and I would just be dedicated. But as it stands right now, I'm just kind of, I don't know what to do. Don't know what to do with my life. Don't know what God wants me to do with my life. Don't know what I'm supposed to be. I don't know what my particular calling is. All these things that people kind of reverberate and recycle in their brains about, why am I in the position I'm in, and why am I not doing anything else than this? Notice with Job, and you can go back. I know we've skipped forward 29 chapters. We didn't read all the prologue, okay? So I can't, tell you that we've read through all that and say this, but I'll just go ahead and break the news to you. Nowhere in those first few chapters did Job say, when I was 16 years old, I was walking along the street, and a voice boomed down from heaven. Light shone about around me. A neon sign fell out, pointing arrows to a scripture tome that was carved by God himself that said, Job, you are going to be my feet to the lame, my eyes to the blind, and the father to the poor. This is your calling. Go forth. Do what I've called you to do. Right. Never happened. Right. I know that's a letdown. I know some of y'all were like, oh, that didn't happen? That sounds so cool. I wish that did happen. And let me tell you what. I will be right there with you. There's a lot of times in my life that I wish, okay, that somewhere I was driving along and an angel like dropped down from heaven, a donkey talked to me, something happened that said, Adam, this is going to be the next 20-year plan for you. You're going to walk into here. You're going to be a nurse practitioner. You're going to go take care of these people for 5 or 6 years. Then you're going to, you know, win the lottery and go live in Vegas. No, you know. I'm going to break some news to you. It's never happened. Okay? What you find with Job, it never happened either. Job didn't get some kind of ultimatum from God that said, Job, this is your calling. Your calling is to be a father to the poor. Okay, I've called your wife to be eyes to the blind, and I've called your friend Eliphaz. He's going to be, you know, it didn't happen. You have a man who feared God, loved God, was righteous, pursued God. In his pursuit of God, he was eyes to the blind, feet to the lame, and a father to the poor.
Amen.
You want to know why? The same reason that Jesus Christ tells us in like Matthew chapter 5 and other places that what is it that we're supposed to do? What is it that our lives are supposed to be made of? Following Christ is not just a, oh yeah, I one day said, hey, I want to follow Christ. And, you know, maybe I went the length and I even got baptized, you know, went crazy. You know, got up off the pew, walked forward and said, hey, can I be baptized? You know, did those kind of things. But then after that, you know, that's isn't that what I, that's all I had to do, right? And then maybe read my Bible every now and then, show up at Easter and Christmas, and that makes me a follower of Christ, right? Right? Okay. Jesus says that we do good works. We are the salt and the light of the earth. We're here for a purpose, and that purpose is that everything we do, when people, when men see our good works, they glorify God. That's our purpose. He says that in Ephesians chapter 2. I created you. You are my workmanship. You are the workmanship of Jesus Christ. And guess what your workmanship was created for? To do good works. Here, Job's just living that out. Says, hey, you know what? I walked by a blind man. You know what I did? I said, hey, brother, I tell you what. You need me to run to the grocery store for you? You need me to help you get up and go to the doctor's appointment? You can't find your way? Let's go. I'll take you. I'll hold my hand. I'll be your eyes. Oh, you can't walk? That, don't worry about it. I'll run down to the Walmart. I'll grab you some bread and some chicken and some eggs. I'll bring it back to you. I'll take care of you. Let me go get you a new mat to sit on. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to be your feet for you. You need to go run, pick up a prescription at CVS? I got you. Don't worry about it. I'll go get it for you. You're poor? And notice he says, I'm a father to the poor. He doesn't say, I'm a benefactor to the poor. He doesn't say, I am a wealthy, loving, you know, compassionate, rich person who loves just to give money to the poor and makes them feel better and supports them. No, he said, I'm your father. You know, a father's got a little bit more of an intimate relationship with a person.
Amen.
Says, I'm going to be to you like a father. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to shelter you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to get you back on your feet.
Amen.
Now, if you were to look over, and I hope you would, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, because you don't know, I might be making this stuff up. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, because people will say, well, then what is my calling? Okay. Does this fall under my calling? Does this fall under what I'm supposed to do for God? Is this what I am called to do? Or am I called to do something else? Maybe I'm called to be a CEO of a Fortune 500 company. Maybe I'm called to, you know, whatever you want to throw in there. This is what you were called to. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20 says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. And as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. Ambassadors to Christ. Ambassadors for Christ. Ambassadors in the name of Christ. And you know that an ambassador actually is a job, right? It's got work associated with it. I know there's probably some ambassadorships, if that's what you call them, with the United States that all you got to do is go sit down in the Bahamas and say, I'm the ambassador from the Bahamas, and what it means is I sit on the beach and do nothing, okay? Probably exists. Would love that job. Love, love, love that job. Would be great. But an ambassador is a worker. An ambassador is a goodwill servant. He's one that is out there in the streets of a foreign land going, this is what my country's all about.
Amen.
This is what my leader, my king is all about. And this is what we as ambassadors for Christ do. We're eyes to the blind. We're feet to the lame. We are the fathers. We are the mothers. We are the friends, the brothers, the sisters to the poor. Now, you say, well, what does that look like in my life? How does that play out? That may play out with something like, you go down to school here, you go into, let's say you're in high school, let's say you're in, maybe in homeschooling, you got neighbors that you know of that live around the street from you, they don't have as much as you do. You got kids, we talk about this with Samuel because he had just the most favorite pair of Lightning McQueen light up shoes, okay? Doesn't matter that his feet are like three times as big as they were then. Those were his shoes and they lit up. And he was trying to stress the importance of the fact that if we got rid of these shoes, his new shoes do not light up. Okay? Now, you know that's a big deal. In fact, I was a little bit jealous of the light up shoes and don't know why they stopped doing that with just kids, because I think it would be super cool for old, you know, people like us. And I think in some elderly people it would be very beneficial. Okay? Start wandering off, you can see them running down the road. I don't know why people have not thought about this. We've got falling, I help, I can't get up, you know, bracelet things around our necks and stuff. We don't have light-up shoes. Come on now. But Samuel was trying to explain to his mommy and daddy, if you get rid of these shoes, I won't have them anymore. Okay? Well, these are the situations that parents love, okay? Especially when they're believers in Christ. Because you know what you can do? You can go to the kid and you say, look, there are people who need these shoes more than you do. So instead of saying they take up your closet and we got to get rid of them, say, no, 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 no. There are people that need these shoes more than you do. In all honesty, it is the truth. We took them, we gave them to Hannah Homo, we tried to explain to him, say, look, Samuel, we have been blessed. God blessed us with a job. God blessed us with ability. I just bought you this new pair of shoes. Okay? Other people don't have that blessing. And you can take these pairs of shoes and you can give them to another kid who might never have light-up shoes ever in their life. And now they do. You say, I can't believe we're making biblical principles off of light-up Lightning McQueen shoes, but it is possible. Okay? But that's the examples that we have in just small ways of every single day looking for opportunities to take care of other people. That's the problem that we have. Job was looking for them. Job said, no, I am eyes to the blind. He didn't say, I'm going to be it if it just falls on my doorstep. If a blind man wanders up on my doorstep, well, then I'll take care of him. If a lame man, you know, crawls up on my doorstep, then I'll take care of him. No, he said, when I went out on the streets, I was their eyes. If I saw a blind man, I'd say, stop what I'm doing, take care of the blind man. See a lame person, stop what I'm doing, take care of the lame person. Because you know what, with that lame person, they'll never move from that spot. I'll walk myself back home and I'll sit in my comfy lazy boy chair watching my big screen TV doing whatever I want to do, and that man will still be sitting there. So he said, I'm not going to wait on this. I'm not procrastinating. I'm not waiting for God to drop it down like a neon sign. I'm doing what God has enabled me and blessed me to do. He said, I can do this. I can be eyes. You know why? Because I got some. You know what? Every single one of you do. Every single one of you have eyes that can see. Maybe some better than other ones. How can you be help to other people? Say, well, this is only for old people who have lots of money. No, this is for young people. Y'all got eyes too? I'm not going to let you be lazy. You got to get up. I'm getting old too. My knees hurt when I wake up sometimes. I need help. You got lame people. There's some lame people in here, I know. But this is what we're to do. Every single day, looking for opportunities. I think that's where we get in trouble. We're all too willing to agree with this and say, oh, sure, yeah, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to take care of poor people, all this stuff. That's it. And when the opportunity presents itself, I'll do it. Instead, we need to have the proactive attitude of, no, I'm an ambassador for Christ. That means I got to get out and I got to start being an ambassador. I had to start working as an ambassador. I had to start getting out there and throwing out the name of Christ and saying, this is what I'm doing. Why are you doing that? Because I'm an ambassador for Christ. Let me tell you about the kingdom. Let me tell you about what we believe in the kingdom. Beautiful thing about the kingdom. The thing we believe in the kingdom is that the kingdom is made up of people from every kindred, nation, tongue, and tribe on the face of the earth. Beautiful thing. That means when I walk up to an African-American lame person, I'm going to take care of him just like anybody else. Means when I walk up to that Hispanic blind person, hey, come on, brother, I'm with you. Let's go. Let me help you too. That's what my kingdom's about. So when you're talking out at school and you're talking to people and you get into a situation like you here are in the South where everybody's got old mentalities and old thoughts and old traditions and things that come up, you say, no, 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 no. That's not my kingdom. All right? Southern America is not my kingdom. Okay, Republican, Democrat, Fox News, CNN, that's not my kingdom. My kingdom's Jesus Christ. And you know what? He died for a bunch of African Americans, Hispanics, whites, Jews, Gentiles. He died for them all. Okay? No discrimination in my kingdom. We love everybody. And here's how I'm going to show you that I love you. Here's how I'm going to show you that I take care of you. I'm not just going to say that as a preaching point. I'm going to show you that I do that. Which means I'm going to have to get dirty. I'm going to have to get my feet worn off. I'm going to have to go the extra mile. I'm going to have to take time out of my busy day when I've got my schedule just set and I knew I wasn't going to preach and it was going to be just perfect timing. When I knew all that, okay, got my schedule just right, I'm going to have to stop. I'm going to have to stop and look and say, this brother walking down the street, he needs help. This brother sitting on the street, he needs help. This sister who just lost their house and lost all their kids' toys, you know what? I got a ton of toys. I'm going to give them all to them because you know what? They need it more than I do. And every time I do it, I'm going to say, this is what my kingdom is about. This is just what I do because I'm an ambassador for Christ. This is what I am because I love like Christ loved. I care about people like Christ cared. I'm going to be eyes to the blind, feet to the lame. I'm going to be a father to the poor. I'm going to live out the calling that God's called me to. He's called every single one of us in here to be ambassadors. He's called us out of darkness into light to do good works. He's called us out of darkness into light to love our brothers and sisters. He's called us out of darkness to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And I got to break it to you, there ain't nobody else in the world called to that but His people. There's no civic organizations. There's no nation states. There's nobody else that God called and said, I think I want y'all to be my light and my salt in the earth. That's us. So guess what? If we're not doing it, nobody else is. So I hope these things have been beneficial. I hope it would encourage us and kind of inspire us to want to be that, to want to do that, to want to separate ourselves from this world that will tell you, hey, get yours as much as you can and live comfortably and, you know, kick back, relax, you've earned it, okay? You've worked hard for yourself. And then we would come with the idea of, no, I want to serve. I want to serve here at my church. I want to serve when I get out of this church and I go back to school, I go back to home, I go back to work. I want to serve in those places. I want to stop tomorrow and just say, hey, you know what? What can I do for you? Have you ever run into a coworker who's crying in a corner and just been like, drama, not going to get into it. Okay? She's always like this. All right? She's off her meds, whatever it may be. You know, drama. I don't need that right now. I've got too much other stuff going on. Okay? See everybody laughing here going, oh, yeah, that's wrong. That was my wife the other day. No, I'm just kidding. Take time to stop and say, hey, I don't know what you're going through. If you want to talk about it, we will. I may not be the best counselor for you. You know what? It may not work out that way. I can't. What I can do for you, I can tell you I love you. I'm going to pray for you. Okay? Go up to someone you see walking into the same pair of clothes that they've been in for the last 3 days and you know they haven't been washed. Kids at school that you see that way. Parents who go to school and see kids that way. Take the time to get a little bit of that awkwardness out of the way and just say, hey, can I do something? Can I help? Can I help just a little bit? Can I just give something? You know, it'll take us getting out of our comfort zone and getting out of our little community. Because you know what? There's a lot of people outside of where we see people every single day that are like that. But you never see them because we're not involved in those areas. So I hope this has been beneficial. I'll continue to pray for y'all if y'all continue to pray for me.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.